We began a series last week, and if you remember, we had a few examples of times in our lives during ministry, family, relationships, our work, our whatever, we just say, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm not doing that stuff anymore. You ever been there? Yeah? Anybody willing to admit that they've been there? Yeah? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, unfortunately, this very thing happens a lot in the church. And last week we talked about having a responsibility, and we likened it to a military post. And if you were given a military post, your responsibility is to man that post until you are relieved. That job has to be done. And it's your job to do it until you are replaced. Okay? And what happens oftentimes in ministry is we get tired of dealing with each other. Right? We don't like the way, I don't like the way he talked to me. Well, the pastor didn't even shake my hand today. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way they dress. I don't like that he has tattoos. Her skirt's too short. I heard my wife chuckle about that one. All right, and so what happens is we get tired of dealing with each other's idiosyncrasies, different things that kind of rub us the wrong way. Is it safe to say that some people within the family of God just rub us the wrong way? Yeah? You're darn right. It happens. It happens, friends. And how are we to respond to that? When somebody does something that we don't like, they ought to know better. I don't like the way they're talking to me. I'm done. What happens when we say that? Something clicks. It's like somebody shuts off a switch in our minds and in our spirits. And our willingness, hear me out. Our willingness to work through that ends. And that's, friends, where Satan begins. When our willingness to bear with each other, as the Word of God says, when our willingness to forgive each other ends, when our willingness to love each other ends, then we say, I'm done. And then Satan steps in and he says, thank you very much. Honestly. And then what happens? Well, the position that you were responsible for now has no one to handle that job. Now, raise your hands if you know that there's jobs that got to be done in the kingdom of God. There's tons of them. Tons of them. Within the church itself. All right? And here's what happens. Many people don't get involved. All right? And they're content. I don't mean to hurt feelings or anything like that or step on toes, but people are content to sit on the sidelines and allow a smaller group of people to do most of the work. Okay? 95% of the work falls on 5% of the people. 5%. That is the norm. Okay? I think that we do pretty well here. We're probably about 80%. 80% of the work falls on 10% of the people. Okay? So here's the thing. If of those 10% of the people, someone, one or two people say, I'm done, and they pack up their stuff and they go, or they refuse to do any, in many cases, because it's relational, almost always it's relational. And the willingness to work through it stops, okay? And so that job stops as well. Okay? So if you get two of those going on, you've got two positions of responsibility and more than likely a team of people that are being let down, as well as myself and the leadership of the church. All right? Now, not only do they say, I'm done, but because the person has made up their mind that I am no longer going to deal with this situation, I'm done, I've had it up to the proverbial here. All right? So not only are they done with that relationship, they're done with that ministry, and 90% of the time, they're done with what? The church. They're done with the church, and if you take that a step further, they're done with the Lord. Do you see how dangerous this is and how much Satan just enjoys it? He revels in it. Satan is called the father of lies. And all that he wants to do is to come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He has nothing good for you. And you would say, well, look at you. How could we say that he would have anything good? But say, if we saw Satan the way that he might look, we would say, oh, no, I don't want anything to do with him. But when he comes through the face of a brother or a sister, on the other hand, we don't notice him as much. Or maybe he's working through us. Now listen, you may be here today and have said those very words. That's okay. That's okay. But let's learn from the things that have happened, okay? Let's learn from some of these things. And if you're in a place, most likely, where that could happen, and the danger that is there, it's a precipice, friends. It's a cliff that's right in front of you. And all it takes is that mindset that I am done. I don't like the way they're changing things. I don't like the way they're bringing in new people or young people. And it's kind of changing the way we've done things forever. Get over it. Get over it. Okay? It has to happen. In order for the church to be healthy, there needs to be a cycle of people, of service, okay? And people that have been serving forever and ever, they need to slow down, okay? They need to be able to relax a little bit. And the younger people, don't be satisfied that somebody else is doing the work all the time, okay? We need you. The church needs you. God Himself needs you. And there needs to be a handoff, if you will. Now, when I was in track, I probably told you guys this before. When I was young, this was years, not too long ago. When I was on the track team, we did what's, you know, called a relay, either a 4x100 relay or 4x200 relay. Those were a lot tougher, but so what we would do is I would run my section with this baton in my hand, and then I would run my 200 yards, and at the end of my 200 yards, there was this section that was chalked off or marked off within which I had the time to hand off the baton to the next runner, okay? Now, the idea is to get the next runner running the same speed as you are, so there's no slowdown. The tendency is to slow down and make that handoff real nice, so you're slowing down. The runner after you has not gotten to full speed, all right? That's the tendency, so you're losing time right there. The goal, however, is for the two runners to match their speed so that when the handoff comes, the next runner is nearly at full speed, and you've got so many yards in which to do that, okay? So now, in the body of Christ, we need to have our older people passing that baton on to the next generation without losing speed, in a sense. You understand what I'm saying? There's got to be that working together for a time. There's got to be that cohesiveness. And there needs to be some understanding, as Jody was saying this morning. It's odd that the Lord was speaking those things regarding our topic of study here. I did not know that was coming. So here we go. So while these things are going on, there is a transfer of information, a teaching. We have the opportunity as older and experienced, wise men and women of God to teach lovingly and gently how the next generation is going to carry on the work of the kingdom. All right? And on the other side of that, the younger generation has to be ready to handle responsibility. And when you handle responsibility, that means you are there. All right? Sometimes attendance is not the greatest. Sometimes reliability and faithfulness and the like are not the greatest. Okay? And so there's got to be that working together of the pillars of the church, the saints that have been doing the jobs ever so faithfully for so long. It's natural for them to need to lay those things down over time. And it's essential that other people pick up those things without there being a dropping of the baton or a slowing down. God is always on the move, friends. Always. He's always moving. We need to be mindful of what he is doing and where he is going. I see the Spirit of God like the wind. We can't see it. You can't see the wind. You don't know what wind looks like, but you can certainly see what it does. And there's danger. There's power in the wind. And you can see how it picks stuff up. And it'll move stuff from one place to another. We need not miss out on where the Spirit is leading. God has a plan, friends. God has a plan. And so when we say, I'm done with this, I'm not doing it anymore, we shut off, by our choice, mind you, our willingness to work together as the Bible commands that we are to do. So basically, we are rebelling against God. All right? And then we talked about last week how sometimes we step into a responsibility, and what is the thing that we say? I feel God is leading me to do such and such. Okay. All right. And then 6 months later, when things get difficult, or people more than likely get difficult, we say, God is leading me out of this position. That's funny. God led you into this position to take this responsibility to help in the kingdom of God and the church of God and to manage, in a sense, to serve. That's really what it's about, to serve in this. And now he's saying for you to he's taking you out of that position to leave everyone else handling your responsibility. That's what God wants you to do. That's funny. He didn't tell me that. Now, this doesn't mean that God doesn't move us. This doesn't mean that that time serving in this position or this ministry doesn't come to an end, because that doesn't. God does do those things, okay? But when you say, God's leading me here, and 6 months later, God's leading me there, that tends to make me believe you're not hearing from God. And you're blaming it on God. Instead of owning the responsibility, Instead of owning the responsibility of your own actions, your refusal, your unwillingness to continue when things got busier than you thought they were going to be, or it involves more leadership than you thought it might entail, or more than likely, there's people that ticked you off. People that didn't fulfill their obligations. And so you had to carry the ball for the rest of them, and now you're doing the same thing that they did. Do you follow? This is tough stuff, isn't it? This is not pleasant. You know why? Because many of us have been there. Many of us have been there. Let me tell you something I did one time. You guys love hearing these stories, don't you? Well, I know it's really hard to believe, but I've made some pretty bad mistakes in my years preparing for ministry. I was involved with the youth group for a long time, and there came a business opportunity for me to pursue. I don't know if you know this about me, but I love business. I love doing those things, and I don't know why. It's just something inside of me, and I like it, okay? But, so I had this opportunity to pursue a business opportunity in which I could make some money and hopefully become, and the big pitch was you could become your own boss. I wanted to be my own boss, have a business of my own, and so what did I do? I laid down my responsibilities of youth group, and I left it to my mentors who were planning on us taking youth group over. And so we left that, and we told them that we're going to take a break. We're going to be done with this for a while. Ah, yeah, that hurts. That hurt them. It was like a slap in the face. It was like a punch right in the mouth to those that were depending on me. Okay? And I remember, I remember when I told them what I was going to do. His words were this: "What happened? What changed?" And he says, "I feel like I want to take a chair and throw it against the wall." That's what he said to me. And I didn't see these emotions, this disappointment in my mentors before. Okay? And to see that disappointment from them in me, I was like, wow, did I really make the right decision here? But I stuck by my decision, unfortunately. And then eventually God, praise God, he led me back. He led us, right? All right. Let me rephrase that, because God didn't lead me out of that. That was me, friends. That was my mistake. That was not God's plan for me to leave the ministry that I was training for to follow money, basically. Okay? And so a year later, I finally got back on to the path God was leading me to begin with, all right? It wasn't that God led me back there. It's God was leading me the whole time. It's just I was refusing to listen. You ever been there? Nobody's willing to admit that. Well, I hope you haven't been there. I hope you don't ever go there. Friends, serving the body of Christ is so important. The Bible talks about it throughout the Bible. The New Testament is just plastered with it, plastered on how we are to relate to one another. And when we don't get that right, the whole church suffers. How about this? Let me pose this scenario to you. You take a position in the church, an esteemed position that requires a lot of effort, anointing, okay? And you do that job, but then the pastor says, well, there's some things that are not quite right here. We need to change some things a little bit about this. And what is your response? Okay, pastor, God's leading through you. Well, we'll do that, okay? Okay, let's get this straight, okay? This is not about Russ. This is not about pastor. This is about leadership and following the leadership that God has put in place, okay? Now, sometimes that involves sucking it up a little bit. Sometimes that involves humility. Sometimes that involves submitting to authority. And herein lies a big, big, big problem. Pride. I don't like the pastor meddling with my stuff. This is my ministry. Stay out of it, pastor. Friends, I'm telling you, I've had this happen. And people don't like it when the pastor sees something that needs to change. It's not healthy for the body. It's not healthy for that person. And so the pastor tries to corral things a little bit and try to get them back on the right track. And the sheep is saying, forget about it. This is my ministry. This is my job. Keep your hands off. Let me tell you something right now. It's not going to go well. It's not going to go well. What happens is there is a pride that says, this is mine. And it doesn't matter who is in authority in the leadership in the church. I'm doing this. I don't care what they say. It's not going to happen. And if it does, you're not going to be there long. I promise you. But friends, that is not the desire of leadership. That is not the desire of God. That's not my heart's desire. My desire is that we can work together, that we can submit to each other, that we can serve each other in serving the body of Christ and collectively serving our Lord and our Savior. And let me tell you something else. When there's people like this in positions of authority, the church is not healthy. The church is weak. And the church is vulnerable to people like that. Because in most cases, they have a strong personality and they'll use it to throw their weight around. That, friends, is dangerous in the house of God. Dangerous. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. There's leadership in the church that has a job to do. These are anointed people by God and chosen to fulfill the calling of leadership in the church. So then, how, friends, are we to respond to one another in an effort to avoid these problems, these challenges within the church? You would think that a church has all this stuff together. There's great relationships in the church. Well, I'll tell you what, friends. Within the church is probably one of the most places I've been hurt my whole life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some well-meaning brother or sister says something to you, and it just crushes you, literally. And I mean, there's been times it brought me to tears. And I'll tell you what else. It sucks the confidence. Any of which I had at all sucks it right out. And then you begin to doubt yourself and if God is speaking to you at all. And when a pastor begins to doubt himself and what God is calling him to and telling him to do, that's bad. That's really bad. And if it's coming through you, that's even worse. So how, friends, are we to continue in the work of the Lord, managing various ministries, okay, jobs, whatever you want to call it, all right? How do we do that? Let's get something straight, okay? Let's build a foundation here. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And it's about his people, the church. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. And it's not about what you want. How, friends, are we to live dealing, and it's more than putting up with, wouldn't you say? Because we can put up with each other. We can put up with somebody that's not our favorite person, that's not our favorite person to get along with. We can put up with them at work. Or maybe a family member that you don't like, that you don't like. This looks like my sister Tammy when she was young. Where's Tam? Ah, she's over there. Look at those pigtails. That used to be her. She was so cute. And so maybe there's somebody in your family that you love them, but you're putting up with them because they push you to the edge. Yeah? Okay? You're about ready to say, I'm done. You're not my blood no more. Good luck with that. Let's turn to chapter 2 of Philippians. Now, it would be a good idea for us to write down some of these scriptures, because we're kind of, some of them we might get through fairly quickly here. So you might want to write some of these down. Philippians, where am I here? Chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Let's just halt right there for a moment. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Here's another thing, another problem that we have. Some people that offer to take over a position or to handle a position, a ministry in the church, they have their own agenda as to what that should look like and don't adhere to the church leadership or what the church feels is important, okay? And so we have our own agendas as to what it needs to look like, and when someone else interjects or leadership would come and say, hey, I'm not real in agreement with this, we need to do the things this way, whoa, hey, pastor, don't do that to me. This is my job. No, it's not about you. It's not about what I want. This is about everyone together. This is about the family of God and their well-being, friends. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Don't have your own prideful agenda. Rather, in humility, listen to this, value others above yourself. So that means this me thing comes way down here. And others, way up at the top, right under Jesus. Yeah? Wow. Consider others above ourselves. It's not about me. It's about you. Not looking, in verse 4, to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You see, that's where healthiness is, friends. In the family of God, in the church of God, in the kingdom of God, it's healthy when we are not looking to our own interests, but as each of us looks to the interest of someone else. It's not about me. It's about the other person. Wow. I'm going to keep reading here. In chapter 5, verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And it goes on and it lists some things about Christ Jesus in the next few verses here, 6 through 11. And it says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Okay, so what that's saying is, he is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, and thus is due a certain place and authority over everybody else, but instead of using that authority to lord it over somebody else, what does he do? Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Friends, if this is the way our Lord and Savior views service and views others, when he could have everything under his feet and lord it over everyone, and yet he took on the nature of a servant in verse 7, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because of this, what he did, humbling himself, therefore, in verse 9, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, hallelujah, the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So here is another thing that we're talking about here. At the end of this, God the Father is given glory when we submit and consider others better than ourselves. God is given glory. Not you, not me, not God is given glory. Why? Because other people see it, friends. Other people see it when we serve each other. And other people see it when we don't, when we're in it for ourselves. God forgive. God help us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you writing these down? You guys got phones. You got some sort of note-taking thing on there, I'm sure. Take some notes on there. Write these scriptures down. It's important. If you would like these scriptures at a later date, I could make them available to you. Also, our sermons are online on our website, if you would like to listen to them also throughout the week. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, when you hear therefore, that means because of all this stuff, do this. All right? Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That means don't give yourselves 25% to the Lord. Not even 50% to the Lord. Give yourselves, give everything that you have. Give it to God. And watch what he does. Watch, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How about Romans chapter 12? Verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice and pleasing to God. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. So you, basically that is saying, give yourself completely to God. Completely humble yourself to God before him. Commit yourself completely to him. This is your true and proper worship, the Bible says. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the pattern of this world? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That is no longer the case, my friends. That is no longer the case. Not in the kingdom of God. And so it is saying here, this is the way the world is. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wow. Friends, we are to be different than the world in which we live. The Bible says that we are in this world, but what? Not of it. We are in this world, but not of it. Okay? That means that we don't take part in, we don't act like everybody else that is not a believer. Okay? We don't do that. God has commanded us to come step apart, separate ourselves from them. Does that mean that we are not to talk to them? Does it mean that we are to not associate? No. It just means don't do what they do. Amen. That's not for you. That's not for you. We are to love each other. There seems to be a it's like we're all right fed up to here all the time. Okay? And it takes very little to set us over the edge. Does that make sense? We're like up to here living this way every day. And then when someone does something just a little bit, it only takes just that little bit to send us over the edge. Does that make sense to you? Be it politically. How about that? All right, emotionally, whatever the case may be. We are right up to here all the time. Friends, we can't live that way. That is not God's will for his people. To live with that sort of anxiety, that emotional distress within you, that is not God's plan for you. It's not what God wants for you. It's not healthy. We need to show the love that Christ showed to us, to our brothers and sisters, friends. And what was the love that Christ showed us? Romans. For God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, imperfect, jerks, stinky, dirty, while that was still us, Christ Jesus did what? He died for us. Wait a minute. Wait. You mean to tell me that I don't have to clean myself up first? I don't have to wear a suit and tie and comb my hair just so and take a shower before I come to church, get rid of all my tattoos, my piercings, all that good stuff? God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still imperfect, while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. It's not about the tattoos, piercings. It's about our hearts, friends. It's about whether or not we receive Christ Jesus and we believe. To them that received him, to those that believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. We're going to end here today. We're going to continue this. There's so much more that God has to say, friends, about how we relate to each other and how we are to serve each other. And that is so much at the center of it all, serving each other out of love, forgiving each other. Because why? Because he forgave us first. How can we not forgive our brother or our sister when Christ has given everything to forgive us? How can we do that? Some of your friends are not here today that used to be here because of that very reason. I'm done. And once they said that, the switch was turned off. and away they go. Don't let it be you. Don't let that be you. I want to say, this is kind of a difficult, would you stand with me today? These are difficult things to hear, friends. It's difficult as the body of Christ to talk about these things. And we want even the outward appearance of our church being perfect and so loving and so forgiving and acceptable, when underneath there are problems going on. If we don't address those things, it will eventually come to the top and bring about an explosion of sorts, okay? And so it's healthy, though uncomfortable, for us, friends, to hear these things, to keep us accountable of our own actions, showing us the way to respond in love to each other. That, friends, yields a healthy church. Loving and forgiving. And so let me tell you something else. When somebody says those words, I'm done, and then all of these things happen afterwards, and they move on to another church, or maybe they don't go to church at all, is that problem taken care of? Not a bit. That problem still exists and carries around with them wherever they go until it is addressed. And it's a downhill spiral, friends. Because what has happened is we have opened the door for the enemy to get a foothold. And once he gets that foothold, he's in. Don't let that be you. Don't let pride come between you and God or your ministry or your brothers and sisters. Humble yourselves. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says, and in due time, he will lift you up. Father, we come before you today. Lord, we thank you for your word that cuts right through all of our excuses, that cuts right through all of our pride and gets right to the problem. Thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord. God, help us to lay down our pride. Help us to lay down all of the things that we carry with us that would prevent us from loving and forgiving one another. God, I pray that you would cleanse our church today. Cleanse our family here today of unforgiveness. Cleanse us, Lord, from all of our pride. And we know that pride goes before destruction. We don't want destruction, Lord. We want humility. We want for you to lift us up. Father, be glorified here in this place. Be with each and every person that has come forward today, oh God. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would work in their hearts. And that, oh Lord, you would heal. Pray that you would bring freedom, O Lord. Pray that you would bring redemption. All these things, Lord, we pray for your honor and your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.